Well, take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. And then we'll be going to Luke chapter number 8. And then we're going to be going to Luke chapter 15. And after that, I don't know. Luke chapter number 7, we'll begin there. And it is good to see all of you. Thank you for coming. Luke chapter number 7. And we're going to read verse number 11. And following down somewhere or another, about verse 15 or so. Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 11. It came to pass the day after that he went to a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of that city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. Now, you won't see that on TV. You'll see a lot of trying to duplicate. But you won't see that on TV. That's the real deal right there. Just thought I'd say that. The young man, say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. He delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us and that God hath visited his people. Now, I want you to look at Luke chapter number 8. Look at Luke chapter number 8. Just turn the page there. And look about verse number 22. Now, we're not going to read verse 22, but I'm going to tell you, this is where Jesus sent his disciples out into the midst of a ship. And he was in the bottom of the boat. Storm come up. They go down there, wake him up. He comes up, says, peace be still, and the whole thing shuts down. Verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, wore no clothes. That's what people possessed with devils do. There's a bunch of them at Walmart and at the mall. Which had devils long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. But he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what? Have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. There was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. He suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rent violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they that went out to see where he was done came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I turn to Luke chapter 15. We're just catching up on our Bible reading. Verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, that's what it takes. He said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father. Will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of the hired servants." He arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found." And they began to be merry. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, sure do thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the honor and the privilege we have to be in your house today. God, I ask you to bless now in these few minutes that we have together. Now, you help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. In Luke chapter number 7, there was a crowd in this particular city of Nain. And there was a crowd that was following a coffin out of the city. Are you with me? Everybody all right? There was a crowd following a coffin out of the city. Well, then there was another crowd following Christ into the city. And they both hit head on. Now, you know what happens when death meets life. Hallelujah. Well, there's a crowd following Christ into the city, and now there's a crowd following the coffin out of the city, and the crowd that's following the coffin out of the city is got their head hung down. They're weeping and they're crying, and you know, I mean, you can just imagine. They're headed for the cemetery. And the crowd that's following Jesus had just come from the centurion's house, and Jesus raised the centurion's daughter, and boy, I'm telling you, they having a time shouting the victory, and they run up on this crowd that's headed toward the cemetery. Now, which crowd are you? If you're not saved, if you don't have Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're headed outside of a city, and you're headed for a coffin, and you're headed for the cemetery, because the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and in sin. But those of us that know the Lord, we're following a Christ, and we're saved. We're on our way to a city not made with hands. Get excited in time you get ready. I'm glad to be of that crowd that's following Christ and not a coffin. They raised that boy. Jesus passed that crowd. They come head on. Told the mother, said, "Don't you worry about a thing." He touched that coffin, them boys that was bearing it, stopped. He told the boy, said, "Get up." That boy sat up and started talking. Jesus got him out of that, says he bare him to his mother. Now, don't you know that crowd was just sitting there sort of like y'all are? Oh, that's nice. That was nice of Jesus to do. No. That crowd that was following a coffin started following Christ and went into the city and told everybody they could find. And that little boy just raised his hand and said, "I just want to testify for a minute. I just want to testify and say that I was headed for a coffin. I was headed for the cemetery. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. And Jesus came by my way and He brought me up from some things. He brought me up from some things, and I'm glad He brought me up, because Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set His feet on a solid rock, established His goings, put a new song in His mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, fear it, and shall trust the Lord. My friend, if you've ever been lost, you'll have to be lost before you can be saved. It ain't going to be none of this. Well, I didn't know I was a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. It'll take you realizing you're a sinner, dead and headed for the cemetery, for Jesus Christ to come your way. He'll say, rise and get up. And my friend, I got saved one day, changed direction, stopped headed for the cemetery. Now I'm headed for a city not made with hands. Hallelujah. He brought me up from some things. That little boy said, I just want to testify. I'm just glad He brought me up from some things. He brought me up out of this coffin. He brought me up out of this cemetery. John 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That little boy said, I just want to testify for a minute and say, hey, I am glad Jesus brought me up from some things. Then in Luke chapter number 8, we read a story about the man of the Gadarenes. And that man raised his hand and said, well, little boy, if you're going to testify about what God brought you up from, I just want to testify and tell you what He brought me out of. Now, y'all fixing to get a little something here in a minute. Some of you starting to wake up. Little boy, he said, little boy, He brought you up from a coffin. But thank the Lord, He brought me out of the cemetery. And he said, you know what? He said, I was naked. I was without clothes. I was possessed with the devils. And I was living in the tombs. They tried to bind me with chains, and I just keep breaking them. And he said, you know what? I went over there to the edge of that island. I looked across that Sea of Galilee. And he said, there was a ship going through there. And he said, you know, I just watched that ship. I got interested in that ship because I saw that thing from afar off, and it was headed right into a storm. And he said, you know what? I was looking, and all of a sudden that storm come up. And he said, you know what? He said, I saw that storm, and them disciples just threw their hands up. They didn't know what to do. They was throwing water out of the ship. They were about to go down for the last time. They was a hollering and a screaming. And then all of a sudden, I saw them disciples disappear to the bottom of the ship. And he said, it wasn't but a few minutes, they come up with another guy I hadn't seen before. He says, I was too far away to hear what they said. But all I know is he raised his hands like this, and the winds obeyed his voice, and the thunder stopped a thundering, and the waves laid down. And he got to thinking, he said, I just want to testify for him in a few minutes. He said, if that man on that ship can do that for that storm, what can that man do for my soul? And he said, lo and behold, that ship was headed my direction. And the Bible says, if you'll remember what we just read, it says he met him right there when the ship docked right there at the boat. That man of the Gadarenes met him right there. Why? Because he was a watching. He just saw what happened. You say, preacher, was that all in there? That's all in between, in the white page, in the white part. He said, little boy, he brought you up from some things. I won't just say he brought me out. He brought me out from a horrible pit. And listen, I'm telling you, He's done for me what no man has ever done. He said, that man, I've never met a man like that man. I've never seen a man do what that man has done. And that man right there, when he came and he told them demons to get out and them devils to get out and cast them into the swine, he said, I was clothed, I was seated at the feet of Jesus and in my right mind, and I hadn't stopped telling people about the Lord since. I just want to testify, little son, he brought you up. Thank the Lord he brought me out. And then in Luke 15, another man said, well, if y'all going to testify, let me say something. Little boy, if he brought you in or up from some things, and sir, if he brought you out of some things, my name is the prodigal son. And I just want to say he brought me into some things. They said, what did he bring you into? He said, well, I done backtalked my daddy, and I saw it. I said, I want a third of what belongs to me. I want my third. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to waste myself. I waste my on riotous living. I'm going to have a good time with all of my friends. I'm tired of going to church all the time. I'm tired of going every time my door's open. I'm tired of hearing some preacher hollering and spitting us all the time. I just don't like it. I want to listen to my own music. I don't like all that Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and all that filled with blood, and all that fountain filled with blood. I don't like all of that. I like Merle Haggard. I like all that stuff better. I like Lady Gag and all of that. That's what I like. His daddy gave him a third, and he went off and, listen, he wasted everything that he had, and then he had to get him a job. The only job he could find was in the hog pen. He wound up eating what the hogs left over. And he got to thinking, he said, you know what? The slaves at my daddy's house live better than this. He said, the servants at my daddy's house live better than this. And he came to himself. And as one old preacher said, he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. And he headed for the house. He said, my daddy, mama don't want to see me. They don't want to see me. But I'm going to tell you, son, he brought you up from some things. Sir, he brought you out from some things. He brought me into a celebration. He brought that boy up from a coffin. He brought that fella out of the cemetery, and he brought me into a celebration. The devil told me that I would never be nothing else for God. I'd never do anything else for God. I done wasted. He said, listen, I wasted a third of what my daddy gave me. Don't have anything to show for it. I'm worthless. I don't deserve to be welcomed back into that house. And I'm just going. I don't know, but I'm just coming to myself. I'm repenting, and I'm going back to where I wronged my dad, and I'm going to make it right with him. Whether he kicks me out or not, at least I'm going to make it right with him. Yeah. And don't you know, I guarantee you, this is in between the pages too, but don't you know mama set a place at the table every night for dinner, just thinking he'd be there. Don't you know, every night at dinner there was an extra place there just in case he came home. And don't you know, that father every morning walked out on that front porch looking. I wonder if he'll come home today. I wonder if he'll come home today. And I imagine he was sitting out on the front porch. Where's my prodigal son at? Harm, here's my prodigal son. Here he comes. That father's looking. Woo! Hey, can I tell you this? He didn't wait for that boy to get to the house. He ran out to meet him to where he was. You say, well, God forgive me. If you'll take one step toward him, he'll jump up in your lap and meet you halfway. Yes, God will forgive you. And this is what he did. Get up on that stage right there and fall down on you. All fours. I done left the notes now. This is what the law said. The law said when that rebellious boy come back home, the law says you get the elders of Israel and you stone him. That's what the law says. The law has no mercy. The law has no mercy. The law will send you to hell quicker than you can turn around twice. The law, keeping the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, ain't going to help you much. It'll send you to hell in a minute if that's all you trying to get. But I'm telling you this, all them elders of Israel, that Bible says he fell on his neck. Them elders done got the stones and says the law says you got to kill him. He done took a third of your possession. Now he's coming back in your face. The law says you stone him. Turn around this way, Bill. This is what the daddy did on all fours. He fell on his neck. And if you're going to stone him, you'll have to kill me first. Stay right there. And let me tell you, the law did kill him. It happened on the cross of Calvary. And listen, you come in, and I'm talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness. You say, prodigal, what did he bring you into? He brought me into forgiveness. He fell on my neck. He wouldn't let the law kill me. He showed me grace. He showed me mercy. He showed me love and compassion. And he laid his life down so I could live. Jesus Christ went to that cross and the law stoned him, for lack of a better term. No, they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. And he's on your neck like this, and he says, yeah, you go ahead and kill me, because he's going to live. Say, what else did he bring him into? And he not only brought him into forgiveness, but hallelujah, he brought him into fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
Now, don't you know, my granddaddy on my mama's side raised hogs. Papa asked down at Lake County. You talking about stinking. Them hogs stink. Hallelujah. They bad. Stink bad. And don't you know when that sun come up there? Whew, he rough. Woo. He brought him into fellowship. Brought him into fellowship. The daddy said, go get the best robe. Let me ask you a question. If a daddy is the daddy of the house, tell me who's got the best robe in the house. So ultimately, there is a little preaching in the white part. And ultimately, he said, just go get my robe. Put this on. Yeah, put that on. Now, you can't tell he come from the hog pen. Now, he smells just like the father's robe. I don't smell hog no more. I smell the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star. I think the old songwriter put it this way. He said, the best thing that I ever did do was pull off my old coat and put on the new. Hallelujah. He put that on him. And now, you know what the Bible says? Put a ring on his finger. That means he not only was brought into forgiveness, he was brought into fellowship, now he's brought into favor. And now, prodigal son, that means right there, that's got your daddy's signet on there. And when you go to the store, all you got to do is show them that ring and say, charge it to my daddy. I don't know why y'all not more excited than you are. But I'm telling you what, when you come back to his fold and his good graces, when you've been out into the world and I've been there and I've disobeyed God and I've got out on God, yes, but thank God, when justice wanted or the law wanted to kill me, God says, mercy and grace, come on into the house. Here, put my robe on. Here's your ring. Now you can transact business on behalf of the Father. Everywhere you go, you show them that ring. And it'll be, people will say, charge it to your daddy. Some of us that are saved, we need to start acting like we're saved. Some of us are going through things. You pull out that ring that God's given, said, charge this to my daddy. Devil, get off my back. Charge this to my daddy. He gonna fix this one. Hallelujah. And then he put shoes on his feet. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little something on that. Put shoes on his feet. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, Mark, for the prodigal son that came on home. And listen, everybody out there says, your daddy ain't going to have you back. Ain't no sense you going back up there. You done messed up, buddy. You stink. You have messed up. God will never receive you back. You done met, I mean, you done committed the unpardonable. And most people that say that don't even know what that means. But I'm thankful God is sitting on the front porch looking for you to come back anytime. Some of you in this room, God is waiting to bring you up. Some of you in this room, God needs to bring you out. You're in some stuff and you need to be brought out of it. You're entangled up in some stuff and you need to be freed from that and ask God to bring you out of that. And some of us in the room, if you're like me, if you live as long as I have, 40 years, I'm telling you, some of that wasn't always preaching behind a pulpit serving the Lord. But I guarantee you, when I came back, God welcomed me with open arms. When everybody else is criticizing, God says, hey, come on back in. Come on back in. Hey, hallelujah for the grace and the mercy of God. Thank you, Bill. Give me that ring back. And the Lord may be wanting to bring you into some things. Some of you in this room right now need forgiveness. You got to ask Him. He'll forgive you if you'll ask Him. He'll forgive you if you'll ask Him. Some of you, yeah, He'll forgive you. Say, well, I've been told He won't forgive me. Oh, He'll forgive you. Say, Lord, preacher, you don't know. I don't have to know. I don't know everything that prodigal son did. I guarantee you it was a mess. And I imagine that prodigal sitting in that hog pen. He said, like the prodigal son, I wandered in darkness, but the shepherd found me in the heat and the cold. The 99 he left in the fold to
find that lost sheep who was hungry and cold. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread. They're waiting for me. Waiting for you too. I can see the Father coming out to greet me, for I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. Why don't you stand to your feet and come on down here for whatever you need to. Maybe the Lord needs to bring you up. Bring you up. You just need a good dose of forgiveness. Maybe he wants to bring you out some things. Some of you young people may be tied up in some stuff you need to be brought out of. Ask God to bring you out. After he brings you up and he brings you out, he'll bring you in. Some of you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I've messed up." I guarantee you, he's a looking for you. Bring you back on in. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. When the law said, "Kill him," he deserved to die. Jesus said, "You'll have to kill me first." And they did. And I walked away free. Yes, free. Yes, free indeed. All because of God's amazing grace. Just a few minutes. You pray now. Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Won't you come get saved?" Ask the Lord to save you. He'll save you. Just a few minutes. Mark's playing now. Come on, step out and come. Still got time for you if you want to come. Altars are full. Won't you just do like that prodigal and say, "I just believe, I'll go home and eat with the Father. A table is spread. All of them are waiting for you." Hallelujah.